Grow Great, the podcast, episode 4002. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio, kids. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here, coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, inside the Yellow Studio. The CEO and professional development. Now, to be more specific, the CEO and his or her own professional development. We'll do it next. Happy New Year. It is Monday, January the 4th, as we hit the record button, 2016. The CEO and professional development has been an interesting topic for me for a number of years. It's for some reason fascinating. You know, some of the most spectacular CEOs that I have ever known, they were really like great fathers. You know, they would sacrifice for their people, kind of like a dad might sacrifice for the family, or should. There are a few basic philosophies that I have often encountered over time as I roam about serving or trying to serve businesses and organizations and their leaders. I'd break them down into basically three. Number one, leaders invest little or no money in professional development because they just think it's a waste of time and money. So they just don't do it. Yeah, there are people like that. Number two, leaders invest lots of money, seemingly without much discrimination, often sending or approving to send people to just about every seminar, every convention known to man. It's a small percentage, but they're out there. I've met them. And it's like, you know, when do you guys get anything done, man? I mean, everybody's gone to some training, some seminar, some session. And then there's the third group. The third group are leaders that invest an appropriate amount of resources to develop their people. And they do it in a very discriminating way. I encounter way more of that third group than I do the others, admittedly. But no matter what camp a CEO falls into, whether it's a leader investing little or no money at all in any kind of professional development, or one who invests all kinds of money and don't much care, let's keep sending people to stuff, or that third group that doesn't just get crazy with it, but they do send people to be developed and gain training. Whether you fall in any one of those camps really doesn't much matter. Well, it does, but for our conversation, it doesn't, because I have found that the CEO, whether it's category one, two, or three, the CEO himself very, 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 very often does not invest in himself. A busy schedule, a confidence that he may not feel like he needs any help, a desire to prefer that others take advantage of it. I mean, there just seem to be too many reasons why the top dog deprives himself of professional development resources that might help him grow as an effective leader. When you don't know something, ask. So I have. I have asked top leaders why they don't avail themselves of the opportunities. Mostly, they tell me they just don't have time. It's far and away the answer that I get. But when you sit down and you're able to have a deeper conversation, there is this underlying reason that eventually seems to come out. Some appear to think that they're beyond it. I mean, come on, after all, they have ascended to the top spot in the organization, and it means that we just have to appear to be beyond the needs of mere mortals. No, they don't say that. But it does seem to be kind of the bravado that goes with the title. It's understandable, I think. It does hinge, it seems to me, in my experience, it does hinge somewhat on where the leader is at on that generational timeline. younger leaders don't appear, in my experience, to have quite the hang up that older leaders may. They seem to embrace learning openly. They don't seem to quite have the fear when it comes to their staff or their organization seeing them as a person that might not yet have it all figured out. Does that make sense? Which is why the graphic that I chose to illustrate today's show that you'll find over at Bula, B-U-L-A, network.com. Just search for episode 4002. It's a graphic of a guy with his head in his hands. I don't know what he's feeling. All kinds of things leap to our mind. Maybe he's feeling frustration. Maybe he's feeling loneliness. Maybe he's feeling both of those and more. Every leader experiences those feelings at some point. I mean, come on, after all, there are some problems that we face in our businesses that warrant that kind of feeling where you just close the door, put your elbows on your desk, and lean into your hands. Some problems, that's the effect they have. Some problems, they don't affect us that way at all. Doesn't matter. The CEO has to shoulder the weight of whatever challenges face the business, right? Because it's up to us. It's up to us to lead the way toward effective, profitable solutions. Our effectiveness is not based on our own brilliance. And the very best among us as CEOs, we know this. Though instead, it's based on how well we can rally a group of people to produce winning performances. That's the measure of our leadership. Now, sometimes we need to be reminded of that. And so, hey, that's why you've got me in your earbuds telling you this right now. That's your measurement. That is your measurement as brilliance as a CEO. Can you, do you rally a group of people to produce winning performances through thick, through thin? Now, the ironic thing is when the conversation goes deeply enough, CEOs readily recognize that when their people see their humanity, it deepens their connection with the organization. This is where I kind of get bonkers in thinking about this topic. And it's why I hit the record button today. So let's get this straight. Some CEOs, they don't invest in their own professional development because they honestly think they need to appear to be the smartest person in the room, person with the best answers, right? They're super CEO. But on the other hand, these same people know that if they're willing to show weaknesses and vulnerability as a person, then their people often respect them more, can relate to them more, are engaged with them more, and more willing to run through walls for them. Hey, just goes to show you, it doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter what our role is. Even top-level CEOs have head trash. Yeah, we all have head trash. As I was thinking about this prior to hitting the record button today, I kept thinking about this show, Undercover Boss, and I've seen it a handful of times, and every time I see it, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. Maybe not the specifics, but the storyline pretty much goes the same way. Picture a CEO or a top leader. They go undercover in their own organization, so they disguise themselves, and they just go hang around the common workers throughout the organization. And in doing so, they not only learn about these people as people and all the problems that these people have, the problems that they come to work trying to overcome. They also learn about what's going on that's wrong in their company. They learn very quickly where the speed bumps are and where the roadblocks are in people getting good work done. But maybe most importantly, they learn an awful lot about themselves. And every show ends with them revealing, calling these people back in and revealing to these people that they really are the CEO, they're the owner, they're the COO, whatever role they are. And bragging on these people in some cases, in other cases reprimanding these people. But it's all about the humanity of it all. It's just, it's a person in a corporate suite who's out there amongst the workers and making a connection. And in every episode I have seen, you've got a CEO who is hugging this employee. And you've got an employee who is hugging the CEO. And they're not just doing it because in some cases the CEO is giving them some special consideration, financial or otherwise, but you realize it's just people making a connection. And as I was thinking about that and thinking about sometimes the top leaders and the excuses that I get, well, I don't do it because, you know, I don't have time and I don't have this and I don't have that. And at the same time, these very same people understand that when they get out and about and they mill around, you know, that whole management by walking around moniker, that when they get out and do that, they will all 100% will acknowledge it works. It works. And I'm the guy who's constantly asking, then why don't you do that more? Why don't you get out? You don't have time. I don't have time. Well, what else could you be doing with your time that is more valuable to your organization? Yeah, well, side note. That's a side note. Just table that. Maybe we'll come back to that at some other point. But today's show's about the CEO and professional development. There's a difference in racehorses and plow horses. Now, we don't have plow horses very much anymore. I guess in Amish country they do. But if you just look at them as horses, and if we say it's about speed, well, it's clear which horse you're going to take. You're going to take the racehorse. Because you could take a plow horse and put a world-class jockey on a plow horse, and you're not going to get, you're probably not going to get any speed improvement at all. I mean, if you do, it'll be marginal, but you're probably not going to even get that. But if you put a world-class jockey on the back of a thoroughbred racehorse, and that jockey can just get a few percentages of improvement because he's a good jockey, as opposed to just a run-of-the-mill guy, you could have a winner. It could be the difference in being in the winner's circle and not being in the running at all. Just small incremental improvement. The racehorse, yeah, you know, looking for that nice rub down, the nice brush, the, you know, give me that warm soapy water and pour that all over me. And hay, yeah, I'll take some hay, but only if you got a super ginormous bucket of great oats to go with it. Plow horse doesn't expect anything. I forget a nice barn that's climate controlled. Sleeping out in the barnyard, that's fine. Hay, that's good. I don't care. Grass, that's cool too. Real low maintenance. Real low maintenance. Not the racehorse. Racehorses, no, they want to be primped and pampered. And I have found in managing salespeople, it's exactly the same way. A person who is just kind of a utility player. Now, I'm not making any statements on people's humanity, so don't misunderstand me. We're making an analogy here about performance, okay? So we're not talking about people's worth as human beings. We're talking about job performance. And when it comes to sales and salespeople, not everybody's created equal. There are some people that are just, they're plow horses when it comes to sales activity. They just are. You could improve them by not just incrementally, you could improve them by 25%. You still don't have much. But they're not high maintenance, right? I mean, they're not constantly chirping and I need this and I need that and we ought to be doing this and we ought, you know, they don't give you that stuff. It's the racehorses that give you that stuff. It's the top performers that are high maintenance. But along with that high maintenance comes high performance, right? So those of us who have lived our lives managing salespeople, we get it. We understand it. We're willing to accept that high maintenance because, well, it's profitable. It works. They produce business. But if you can improve them, you could take your top performer and you could improve them incrementally, 1-5%. Take a top performer and improve them by that much, and well, you've got something. I mean, you're moving the needle significantly. I say this quite regularly to CEOs and top leaders in trying to illustrate to them their role and where they are in the organization. And I'm talking to you. As a CEO, I'm talking to you. You're the business builder. You're the person that's making the big things happen. Yes, there are other people. I'm not discounting other people. But when it comes to high maintenance and when it comes to people who can really make a difference, people who can have the biggest impact on an organization, does anybody have a bigger impact on the organization than you as a CEO? No, they don't. They don't. You can make decisions that are going to impact the organization way more than 100 decisions made by other people, because that's the role that you're in. Makes no sense to me. So help me understand why we would invest in a racehorse for good reason and why you're not a racehorse. Why are you managing your professional development as though you're a plow horse when you're not a plow horse? You're a racehorse. Why aren't you having access to the resources that racehorses demand and need and want and crave? Why aren't you craving those? Why don't you see the value, not just to you as a person, but to you as a professional, in incremental improvement in your abilities and your talent and your inclinations? Okay, maybe it's not about learning something new, but is it possible that you could learn something better? Well, sure. It's also possible you could learn something new. We can all learn something new. The great CEOs that I have known and do know are lifelong learners. So it ain't about learning. I've never, ever had a CEO tell me, well, I don't invest in professional development because I know it all and there's nothing left for me to learn. I've never had a CEO say that to me. What they do say is, I don't have time. And my argument, quite simply, is, you better be making time. Because if you're not making time, you're going to be signing your own death certificate. Because not only do you deserve it, but your organization deserves it. I have never, ever sat across from a CEO and had this kind of a conversation where, at the end of it, I was not able to convince them, and this is why I'm virtually sitting in front of you through this podcast trying to convince you, the investment that you make in yourself in professional development has a ripple effect that is probably incalculable. It probably benefits way beyond anything that you've ever even considered, because slight improvements in you carry on and have vast improvements further out throughout the organization. It can't be helped. Now enter the one big dilemma. This is the one that seems to come up for me more often than not. I'm a reader. I read. Great. Wonderful. Forget the money. It's not the $20, but let's take the 6 to 8 hours. How do you know it's really for you? Plus, not to mention the fact, well, but I am mentioning it because I just did. It's a one-way conversation. It's not a dialogue. It's you can't ask any questions. You can't get clarification. You can't say, hey, author, would you go a little bit deeper into that? Because that one right there, that thing right there that you're talking about, that applies to me more than these other things. You can't do that. You can't do that. It's a one-way dialogue. You're just consuming the information. Listen, I love reading and I love books and I'm surrounded by them right now. But their value is awfully limited. It's not interactive. It's not specific necessarily to you. And then there's that big elephant in the room, is how do you know that it's a good book for you, for your situation? Well, you really don't until you read it. And by then, well, it's too late. There's 6 hours I'll never get back. Have you ever read a book and said that? Sure, we've all done that. We've read books that were top bestsellers. Everybody raved about how great and wonderful they were. And we have spent 6 hours reading the thing and thought, you know, what am I missing? I don't get it. Well, you don't get it because it didn't have application to you, maybe. Or maybe the hype was just that, all hype, no substance. If you are the number one employee, we'll call you that. Even if you're a business owner, let's call you a number one employee. You're the number one guy. You're the number one gal. Things hinge on you. You make the place go. You set the tone. You set the culture. You impact the place like nobody else can, simply because that's your role, that's your function, that's your title, that's your authority. And let's hope that's your skill. Why would you invest in employees numbers 2 through 10, let's say? Give them whatever they need. We need to develop these people. I need my number 2 person, my number 3, down to my number 10. I need these people. I want them to excel. I want them to, if they need help, I want them to get the help. I want them to get the learning. I want them to go to the seminars. I want them to go to the conventions. I want them to meet and greet. I want them to have all of those things. But, yeah, I'm the number one guy and I don't need it. Now, help me understand that. A hint, you can't. You can't help me understand it, because there ain't no understanding it. Because you and I both know it doesn't make sense. Makes no sense at all. So I'm encouraging you, as a top leader, as a CEO, think about what you do for yourself. Listen, I don't care what that looks like. Whatever that looks like for you is what it needs to look like for you. I know some of the things that I have to offer, and I think they're highly valuable. I got clients that think so. I've got previous clients that our work completed, and they think so. I'm just encouraging you to get past the first hurdle, and that is the fact that you're worth investing in, and that will benefit not just you, but it will benefit your business and those people that work for you. And you got to make the time. Don't give me, I don't have time. You can't afford to not make the time for your own professional development. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website, well, you can go there any number of ways. Just, why don't you just go to growgreat.com? That'll take you there. Brought to you, as always, by my company, Bula, B-U-L-A, Network, LLC. Bula Network is an executive coaching and consultancy, kind of a boutique thing. It doesn't matter if it's a, part of it is a Vistage chair. If you are in the Tarrant County of Fort Worth, Texas, I'd like to talk to you about that opportunity. Otherwise, you can read all about me online at the website, growgreat.com. I'd like to hear from you. Mainly, I'd like you to get your head trash cleared up and be better. Be better. As always, it is about leadership. It's about higher human performance. It's about developing people. It's about overcoming our challenges, dealing with our issues. Just constant, ongoing improvement, right? That's what your shareholders want, whether they're private or public. That's what your customers want. Guarantee it's what your vendors and your financial partners want, and so do your employees. So you got a lot of people in your life that you need to serve. I'm here to serve you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Randy Cantrell, BulaNetwork.com. All the best.